Back in 1940, eight sensational heroes united to create the world's very first superhero team, the Justice Society of America. Now, 85 years later, we're gathering podcasters and bloggers from around the globe for a month-long celebration in an event we're calling JS April. Throughout April 2025, join dozens and dozens of podcasters and bloggers as they each share their own unique tributes to the original and greatest superhero team. Get ready for an all-star month of beloved characters, fascinating insights, and incredible stories. Follow the action on social media with the hashtag JSApril, and visit our website for a complete list of participating podcasters, bloggers, and what they're each covering at fireandwaterpodcast.com/JSApril.
Avengers Spotlight!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Back to the Bins, or excuse me, welcome to Two Tree Freaks presents Back to the Bins, presents Avengers Spotlight, presents the Kang Initiative, presents Paul Spataro and Dr. Bill Robinson. How you doing, Doc?
All right.
You know, as usual, you know, we talk off the air before we actually start the show, and Doc is doing much better in the show than he was doing off the show. Because, you know what? Sometimes
we don't need to peek behind the curtain.
Sometimes life is difficult. And it almost always has to do with work. You know, work is hard. Work makes you tired. Work wears you down. You know, you almost understand all the deadbeats who don't want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to suck it up and go. You know, that's life. Sorry. Sorry, everybody who wants to not.
Mm.
But what are you going to do? But from a comic book point of view, Dr. Bill and I have been doing the Avengers, the Kang Initiative, and with a brief respite for Avengers Forever, we're motoring along on this.
Motoring! What's your... Sorry.
And the thing about it that's jumping out at me, and I'm sure we're going to get into some discussions about it as we do it, is this started out, this little run started out with like stellar artwork. I thought it was really, really good. And now, you know, no, I'm not really enjoying the artwork the way I did, unfortunately.
Not as much as we did. It's okay.
Well, what I'm seeing in this issue is... I think this issue needed a strong inker. I think the layouts are okay. The actual pencils seem okay, but it feels like there isn't the detail work or the fine lines that could have been put in that would have brought it up a level. I don't know, you know, if you agree with that, and as we go through it, maybe we'll see if that's the case. But it's. Sometimes it's a matter of, do you think it's good or yes or no? And then sometimes it becomes a matter of, well, is it a style that you like? This style is feeling more and more like it's the, like when they do the versions of the animated shows.
Mm.
You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Very, they usually do them very loosely as far as the pencils go in those. And that's what I'm getting the feel of more and more in this, is that it's just very, very loose. And if the, you know, like I said, if the inking made it a little tighter, then I think I'd like it more.
Well, we did change artists this issue, too.
Yeah, well, on this one, we have Kieran Dwyer as the artist. Didn't he do the last issue also?
No, that was Manuel Garcia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. And then we have Rick Remender.
He's been on here for, I'm looking back through the book. He's been on here for a while. And Leighton.
Didn't Wire do that, the cover of the last issue that I didn't care for with, you know, Warbird and...
Yes.
So that, and part of that was also the loose pencils that I didn't care for. So, you know, I think we're seeing a pattern here. I think this is, you know, I'm coming down to, I think this is the style that he goes with, and this is the style he likes, and I see some talent there. It's not like I don't see anything good in it, but I'm not buying the style as we're getting it, and I wanted the inker to kind of change the style, which probably would have caused an uproar if he had. But you probably have a pencil freaking out.
We will be with Kieran Dwyer for another, at least until issue 50.
Well, that's only two away. But, you know, if you took this same penciling and let Terry Austin ink it or Bob Layton, I think I would be much happier with it.
Mm.
That's my initial take. But why don't we do a synopsis, and then we'll synopsis. Start talking about some specifics in it.
Synopsis nigh? No, well, that would be multiple synopsis.
Synopsification.
Hmm. So we are covering today Avengers number 58. Back in the aughts. It'd be January of 2002. The title of the story is Warp Plan A. Kurt Busiek is a writer. Kieran Dwyer's pencils. Rick Remender's inks. Tom Smith is the colors. Richard Starkings the comic crafts. Albert DeShensei is the letterers. John Estes is the cover artist. I don't think I'm familiar with him.
Well, Kieran Dwyer did the cover. Maybe John Estes did. No. If you look at it down at the bottom right corner, there's a KG.
Maybe he inked. Because it says cover. The books that, oh, you know what? You're right. I missed up top behind. Usually they break it out like the cover separate, but no, you are correct. So he did the, Mr. Estes did the, he did maybe the inks.
Well, in the bottom right corner, there's a KD and I think it says 01, which is, I'm thinking he, does it say Estes? I don't see that on
there. Yep. Right below it, very tiny. E-S-T-E. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So he must have inked it then. We'll go with that.
So,
I'll buy that for $1.
Yeah.
That's the perfect reaction.
Synopsis. Living Lightning and Quasar pursue the Triple Evil as it passes their asteroid base heading for Earth, while Captain America, Jack of Hearts, no one in it really smarts, Photon... Does anybody get that joke?
I don't know. You'd think there would just be Juice Newton fans all over the place.
There you go. Thank you. At least I knew you would get it. Photon and...
as long as it's old, I get it.
Yes. Never mind, I was going to go with more jokes, but Photon and Scarlet Witch assault Kang's orbiting Damocles base. Warbird's squad penetrates the Master's base, aided by the Scarlet Centurion, who uses Damocles' system to shield them from the Master's sensors. In France, Firebird and Thor battle Kang's... Wait, that I suddenly became Chinese. Firebird and Thor battle Kang's legions. Accompanied by wary Avengers Firestar. Wow, man, they're really jumping around in this. Usually they straw stuff out, but they're just leaping all over the place. Accompanied by wary Avengers Firestar, Justice, Vision, and Triathlon, Jonathan Tremont and his crew fly their prayer ship, psychically powered by Treen Believer's Faith, into space, and it knocks all their asses out into space to confront the Triple Evil. Distracted by aiding Warbird, Scarlet Centurion neglects Damocles' defenses long enough for the Avengers to pierce its force shield. But Kang quickly traps the Avengers in a stasis ray. The U.S. military responds by launching its... Wait, stand by. I have to flip the page. Sentinel Army! I knew that. Back at the Master's base, Warbird Squad battles the Master and his Pelodex Wolves. And Warbird kills the Master! The Avengers claim the Master's technology, but Kang takes control of the Sentinels and leads them against Earth, pausing just long enough to blow up the Avengers assault ship and leave Captain America's squad drifting in space. Bam, bam, bam.
Do you recall offhand what a regular sized book went for at this time? I'm trying to, see. Book,
the cover says 350, so if I just look at something somewhere else for a second, I can tell you what the cover price on the last issue was.
That's what I'm trying to look up quickly. The cover price on the last issue.
I'm going to say it was probably $1.50, but now let's look, because I have it up right now.
It up, and I don't see a price on it.
$2.25. Oof.
So they charged an extra $1.25 for this issue based on the fact that they reprinted three issues of The Avengers that have really nothing to do with what's this story.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't figure out. I'm like, who cares?
So anybody who doesn't have this book in front of them, it's billed on the cover as a 100-page giant. It does not say, 100-page monster. It doesn't mention anything about reprints or anything like that. So I think this is, this is unfair marketing as far as I'm concerned. You're thinking you're having close to 100-page story based on that. You have a regular length story, but then you have three issues, which are issues 98, 99, and 100 of the volume one of the series. Which are, the post-Kree Skrull War with the Hercules and the Avengers going to, Olympus and fighting a battle there. But I feel like fair marketing should somehow, there should be something on the cover that should say, plus an extra story or something like that, because they're charging extra and they're not telling you why.
Well, these three stories tie more into Avengers Forever than they do this.
That's interesting because we're doing the Avengers Forever retrospective. There's definitely more because this is in Avengers Forever, to pull back the curtain a little bit. There's time-displaced Avengers in there, and this is the era that Hawkeye comes from.
Yeah. I was like, who cares? Why is this here? Why do we not have three issues of something with Kang?
Yeah, exactly. You could have the very early appearances of him, or you could have, there's numerous appearances over the years. So there's a lot of things they could have gone with, but for some reason they did this. Now, I don't recall, and I'm not going to do the correlation to figure out, was this a company-wide thing where they were, putting out monster issues on everything with reprints in them? Or was this just unique to the Avengers? I'm treating it in my mind as if it's unique to the Avengers, but I don't know 100% that that's true.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't tell you for certain. But, I feel like it's unfair marketing, really, that they should have had something on the cover saying, plus this story or whatever. You're going to charge extra, then give the people, give the people fair warning as to why. So that said, I kind of like this story. I feel like it's continuing to ramp up. This is a very long form story that we're getting here that, goes on for so many issues. But there's enough that goes on here. There's enough battle that I'm enjoying the progression. I can't justify the 100-page monster aspect of it.
No, I mean, it's an extra, $1.25?
Which isn't a crazy amount to order. If it was $2.50 a book normally.
This would cost you now, right?
This would probably
cost you about $8.
It was $2.25, you said?
Yeah.
Previous issue, so it's a dollar and a quarter extra.
Yeah.
So $1.25 to get three reprint issues is not unfair, but it's just you don't know what you're paying for when you pick this up based on the cover.
This would probably be closer to $10 because I just picked up a book and it was like maybe double the regular story length or something. And then I went back and looked at my receipt and I'm like, why was that so expensive? And I looked at the cover. I'm like, $7.99. Jesus.
It's crazy. I buy very, very, very few new comics now.
Well, there's like Avengers versus Aliens is out right now. And I'm like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that and Avengers teaming up with Ultraman, which I haven't read the Aliens one yet. I read the first of the Avengers with Ultraman, and the story made sense, and I was fine with it. But it's like, then, you know, the price of it is like, I'm like, God damn, this is ridiculous.
Re-goddamn-diculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I go to the shows and I'm filling up holes in my collection. And for me to spend like $10 for a book, it has to be something I really want. So I don't see spending that on books that I have no idea what they are and they don't really fit into any collection that I'm doing. So like just to read them. Barring some real, you know, somebody saying to me, yes, this is a book you're going to want to read. I'm not spending that kind of money on a book, on a new book. No way. It seems crazy to me. You know, a lot of the holes in my collection that I'm filling, you know, I'm doing from like $2 bins. So I got to go to pay $10 for books that I don't even know what I'm getting. Anyway, the cover... You know, the cover kind of, to me, feels like exactly what I described before. It almost feels like, you know, this would be an adaptation of the animated Avengers book. You know, the artwork is just not really catching me as far as, like, the sophistication of it. It feels very simplified. You know, we see, I guess it's a Quinjet in space. Quinjet's in space, heading diagonally from left to right and upward on our screen. And then, you know, right in the windshield, you know, you see Scarlet Witch, Captain America, and Jack of Hearts. It just doesn't feel like that's what a Quinjet would look like. That's a very small Quinjet to be going into space. And they are surrounded by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Sentinels heading in the same direction as them. If I was not already into this story, and I wasn't collecting Avengers, and I walked into the comic store and I saw this on the shelf, I probably would think, you know, like almost like animated adaptation, probably overly simplistic, and I'm not interested in it, which is not what I get inside, despite the artwork being similar. So this cover isn't selling me, is basically what I'm saying.
Well, I think they either everybody in the Quinjet had something bad to eat for lunch, or there's a funky window tint on that Quinjet because they're all looking a little green.
Or maybe they're all just having a little cirrhosis.
So. Not looking healthy.
What are you thinking of the cover?
It's all right.
So that glowing endorsement says you like it a little more than me.
No, I would give it I'm going to be buying the Avengers anyway. If I wasn't, I'd be like, you know, like C-, you know, just like,
Yeah. I mean, you know what? We don't usually do our ratings till the end, but I'm going to say that's where I'd come to, C-, just, you know, slightly below average. And again, it has the potential of being better. I think the angling could have been a little bit more dynamic, and I think the detail work could have been better, and the coloring could have been better. But I think it still had potential that I don't feel like it's reaching.
Yeah.
Picture this scenario and this general, you know, cover layout drawn by Neil Adams. It would be far more dynamic.
Mm. Yeah.
So So moving on to the interior, you know, we start off with now. That's Kang's pyramid at the opening.
No, that's the
Immortus.
Triple Evil.
Oh, that's the Triple Evil.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the Triple Evil is yet.
It almost sounds like it should be in a song. And we have Quasar and the Living Lightning who are monitoring it. Quasar looking, you know, like quite the metrosexual with his long flowing hair.
I'm sorry, if you're in deep space and you're on monitoring duty, are you really going to wear your full costume all the time? I'm not. I'd be lucky to wear anything.
Well, I would wear something. I'd be hanging out in a t-shirt and a pair of sweats. But that's just me. And you know what? Not for nothing, I would have been doing that in 2002 as well. it's not like time has changed anything.
I'm wearing a t-shirt and sweats right now. So.
As am I. So they decide to check out the pyramid, and they leave the monitoring base, which I was kind of ignorant of also.
I vaguely remembered this, but and I think I there was maybe was it established in the I mean I've got the Quasar run that I did I when I was reading it I don't think if they got to this in that run I haven't reached that part of the run.
Once again, if only we had a friend who was very into the whole Quasar storyline.
Anyway, I have no idea who that could be.
Anyway, you know, they're checking out the Triple Evil, and it starts pulling away from them, and they're chasing after it. They're pouring on the speed before it gets out of range. And then we cut to the Earth orbit where the three Avengers on the cover plus Photon are all in the Quinjet, and it looks to me like Scarlet Witch is just a little bit high.
Well, that's probably because there's not enough oxygen in the oxygen
In the oddly shaped oxygen helmet.
I'm gonna go into space, so I'm gonna put a fishbowl on my head.
It's not even though like a round fishbowl or a tube-like fishbowl where you know, like it's got like a bulge over by the eyes for some reason.
I mean, maybe Captain America's outfit might have some protection from the rigors of space.
I'm sure Scarlet Witch doesn't.
I can see the Scarlet Witch's cleavage, so I don't think she's protected from anything.
I don't. Yeah, well, I don't think she has protection from the rigors of battle either, and that's been her costume for years.
You know, it's like, thank God those helmets are big enough to accommodate the wings on Cap's head and Scarlet Witch's pointy stuff on her head. Like what? I get Jack of Hearts. He can fly around in space, and Photon technically can make herself out of energy. But if she's on the never mind.
So on Cap's orders, Jack of Hearts and Photon go out and attack the Damocles base. And I believe they're not having too much success.
Not at first. But then they set up the vibrational patterns and attack in unison and blah, 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 blah.
So, yeah, and they're working at it, trying to break through. Wasp is down on Earth monitoring things still, also in costume. And then we cut to the Pentagon. That's okay. Now, that's not General Ross, right? That's a different general?
No, that's General McGinty. I guess they got Ted McGinty from Happy Days and Married with Children.
I believe that's McGinley, isn't it?
Oh, I think McGinley, tomato, tomato, whatever.
But he's definitely got a Thunderbolt Ross look about him.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand why this isn't Thunderbolt Ross. Maybe because he's going to look stupid by the end. Yeah, but they made Ross look stupid, too.
Oh, many times. With the whole Hulkbuster thing, he did a lot of stupid things.
And the next panel, the next page is my most favorite taken out of context panel. You could
with Pietro kind of sticking his nose up Warbird's butt.
Well, then if you say, and then if you cut out I mean, no, you know, keep the words in there. I don't like this Warbird. What's not to like, Pietro? The cramp orders, the stale air, and then she just farts right in his face.
Yeah, that could be. And then we have a close-up of Pietro's face, and again, the detail work just is not there for me. It's not looking good. So they're making their way through the, which will fit in with what you just described, the bowels of the master's base.
Oh, God.
Yes. And they think they're doing so covertly, but, you know, we see that the master is monitoring them and has, I guess, their heat signatures on a screen watching them go.
That's not the master.
Oh, is that that's Marcus?
Yes, because he says, yes, continue interference.
Oh, okay.
So that's Mark. It caught me a second read through to catch that too. Well, plus his hand's red.
Yeah, you're right.
But it could have been a shadow. It could have been a master.
Well, it could have just been poor artwork. Anyway, we cut to Thor and Firebird in France, where they're battling, and apparently the army there decides to wear Nazi war helmets.
Well, okay. In all fairness, was it back in the 90s or 80s? Like
2001 or 2002.
No, but at one point the U.S., I remember this because it was like, I was like, really? That, like, the United States switched the style of their helmet and it looked a bit like a German helmet. And I'm like, well, way to go, guys.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's fine.
It's all fine. We're all fine here. How are you? Slight weapons malfunction.
So, and they're still debating, you know, Thor being immortal and she's not, and he's all, you know, just angsty over it.
It's hinted that she is because of something that happened prior, that she could be immortal too. And that you'll come around to my way of thinking and be a boring, whiny, whatever.
But you're in the middle of battles, you know, we don't need to have this debate.
Thor, shut up.
Now on the second page of them, they have two of my least favorite close-ups.
Yeah, but if only we had someone we know who knows something about Thor.
And Norse legends.
I'm sure who that could be.
But we have close-up pictures of Thor and Firebird, of their faces on each of them, where, you know, he's looking angry and she's looking sad. But it doesn't, you know, it's the problem is I'm enjoying this story and this artwork is turning me off.
It's pulling you out. You're going,
Yeah, it's pulling me out of the story. Exactly. From there, we cut to Texas in the offices of the Triune Understanding. Yeehaw! Where they're getting ready. They're getting ready to investigate the Triple Evil. And what's his name? The leader, whose name I keep forgetting, Jonathan Tremus. He's like, yeah, you know what? Our ship, it's fine. Everything's good here. How are you? It's not gonna hurt our people at all. And then they take off, and the people collapse, clutching their temples. I'm thinking he might have been lying.
It's like Christopher Reeve in Superman 2. The people.
But you know, I would have thought that he would have done this in a way with, you know, because he had the Avengers. He has Triathlon, Vision, Justice, and Firebird.
Firestar, excuse me.
Firebird's the other one. I'm confusing them. They're all on board. So you would have thought he would have it where they wouldn't see the people collapsing underneath. But
yeah,
they're immediately calling him on it, and he's saying, already our medical staff is doing what it can. The acolytes have done what is necessary as do I, as I hope we all will soon. Stay on course, Vasquez. I don't know who this Vasquez is, and I don't trust him.
Flunky.
Yeah. Back to the Damocles base, where they're basically conducting a triple assault. You have Photon, Jack of Hearts, and what appears to be that the Quinjet, but drawn, I think, in a little different way. Certainly very different from on the cover. Scarlet Witch is apparently
Because powering... I brought that up last time, that this thing looks like one of the things from the latest Star Wars those troop carriers for the New Order.
So yet another area where the cover is distorted.
New Order was a band from the 80s. So not to confuse my orders.
Tony Stark tells him he's got a specific series of counter modulations that might work at getting through. And they're working on that, and we cut to Marcus monitoring what's going on, sitting there just watching the heat signature of Carol and going,
with his predator vision.
Yeah, you can almost hear that sound effect. And then Kang walks in. He's, what are you doing? Nothing. And he folds up a Playboy and sticks it underneath the chair, the cushion.
They do give him a good look when he like turns his face and he turns the screen off. That is the look of, oh shit, I've been caught.
Yeah. I see you've been monitoring the situation, of course. And then he must answer in a nervous way because he says, "So of course, Father, what else would I be doing?" But you got to put the nervous voice on that because the response is, "I do not doubt you, my son." So he's already showing that he's, you know, whatever. I merely inquire because, versatile as they are, automatic modules cannot anticipate everything. For example, those hopeless attackers seem to have introduced a new series of subharmonic variable flux frequencies to their attack, and it looks as, yes, the Avengers have just broken through our shields. Not the desired result, wouldn't you say? Then he's going to make the sad face. I should have been more attentive. I shouldn't have been pleasing myself. So.
And he zaps him with the Green Lantern ring. I mean, stasis ray.
Yes. And at this point, the faux General Ross, Ted McGinley, decides it's time to use the Sentinels. Dun, dun. Da! Good move, dope.
And they send 75 Sentinels.
Do they specifically say the number? I don't recall.
Yes. Yep, they say they launched 75 of them from 3 locations around Washington. They are Sentinels originally created to combat rogue mutants, but more and more, they have become an important part of the federal government's contingency plans against supernormal threats. 75 Sentinels, each with the power to level a small city, and each one programmed, and each with one program goal, reach Kang and neutralize him at any costs. Yeah, that's going to work out well.
Yeah, good luck with that. So then we cut back to our team that's going after the Master. Now, I got to tell you, on this page, I like the way the Master is drawn, and I like the way the Plodocs are drawn. So there's at least some of the artwork that I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in. I love the look of Silverclaw with that giant beak. Yeah, I mean, so they burst in, and he makes it clear that he knew all along they were there, and he sends his wolf Plodocs after them. Then they're battling, and I got to think you loved this, that Silverclaw assumes her strongest incarnation of a giant sloth. Let me stop him.
No.
He said, what is... I'm thinking of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. There's a scene where I think it's Galahad, could be Lancelot or what... No, I don't even remember one, but one of them's running by, and this is like one of the guards, and he's already like 10 feet behind him, and he puts up his finger, and he's like, hey. And that's the way I'm picturing a sloth being. So Warbird lets it be known that they want control over his weapon or his weapon defense systems and weapons and defense systems, and he says, "Oh no, no, my body armor will protect me, and we're gonna battle."
Well, so he pulls a sword out of a machine, right? Or did the machine create it?
It's not very clear, but it looks like he pulls it out because there's a little energy thing at the tip of the
sword.
And there's
like a possible little slot there. And I'm like, I never noticed that in the previous issues that there was anything like that. But I'm like, I don't know.
But he doesn't have the sword in his hand until that moment. So either while they were focusing on the other people, he ran somewhere and got a sword, or he pulled it out of that machine. And pulling it out of that machine makes a lot more sense. But you could see where maybe the hilt was sticking out, and he just grabbed it and pulled it out. Like that is the essentially the scabbard, for it, or is that what you call it, a scabbard? No.
Whatever.
We all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So it was just like, I don't remember him wielding a sword, but that doesn't mean he doesn't.
I also question a sword being your weapon of choice, but that's just me. So then we cut back to our green space people who are being attacked with a green ray. And then Kang's just got his, it's almost like his astral image out there talking to them.
Yeah.
He basically is letting it be known that he, being the master of time, worked in the robotics industry under the name Victor Timely. Very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And then
which was actually in the Loki series. And has been, that's been in other comics too, and other of his appearances. But anyway, yes, and he knows robotics.
We cut back to the battle against the Master's group, and he actually draws some blood on Warbird by cutting her cheek with the blade. And that's another
you bitch.
That's a little bit of an overused trope, often in movies. Where but in the comics too, where they draw blood, but it's just a superficial thing. They don't aside from Bullseye impaling Elektra with her psi, you don't see too often that they actually go beyond the drawing, the superficial wound. But Warbird changes that by
Funny you should mention that, being impaled by something.
Yeah, in a very similar scene to what I was referring to, she grabs a piece of debris, a sharp piece, and runs it right through the Master, saying, the rules have changed, that they're at war. And then he just drops to the ground, presumably dead. The Plotics say, "What?" Yellowjacket says, "Huh?" And in a couple of minutes, Silverclaw realizes what's going on. The Silverclaw sloth. And then we cut back to the astral Kang and saying, what does he say? Let's see. "I was not so foolish as to avoid planting safeguards in all the technology that descended from my work. Safeguards and controls. A few robotic beings have escaped that control, including the Vision and the Human Torch. But alas for you, the Sentinels have not. I really would have thought this of you, Avengers." So he takes control of the Sentinels, and Captain McGinley, or General McGinley, is sad.
He should just... No, well, never mind. That's just, He should just pull... At that point, he should have just pulled out a revolver and blam! whoa, dude!
So what have I done? And then we see... Kang says, "I must also remind you, Avengers, I did say that if I or my forces were engaged other than on the field of battle, there would be retribution, and I am a man of my word. You have attacked my command center, thus I will obliterate you." He turns and begins his tread, measured and precise, to walk downward. Why is he walking in like his astral? I guess he's not astral. He's really out there with some sort of protective...
He's huge.
Yeah. I'm not sure I quite get that.
I don't know. I think it's just a show of force. But for some reason, in that scene right there where he's walking towards the Earth with all the Sentinels, I don't know why this song popped into my head. but it's Walking on Sunshine.
Walking it out of space. Then he stops for a moment and says, I'm forgetting something there. And he blows up the Quinjet or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then says, come along, my sentinels. And he turns away and we see our space Avengers floating in space. And Scarlet Witch's helmet is apparently cracked, so she should be dead. And they're all unconscious.
The rest of the body's fine, even though it's exposed to, you know, space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah. And then it says, next, Retribution. And then we have our three reprint issues. So do you have synopsis all right, let's on those?
And the end. See, I said it so fast. I used my anti-sloth powers.
If you play that down to 1/3 speed, you might actually understand some of it. Anyway, like I said, I thought this story was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I thought it's progressing things. It's putting them in a real situation where you say, you know, how are they getting out of this? On the one hand. On the other hand, now they've taken over the Master's base and you're wondering if he's really dead or not. So there's a lot of stuff that happened here, which, you know, we've had issues where very little happened. So I'm enjoying this. I'm looking forward to when we do the next one. But, you know, again, to my big negative is the artwork.
Yeah.
So we already rated the cover. I'm gonna give the story an A-. I thought it was really good. But I'll agree with that. But I'm gonna give the artwork. I'm gonna give the artwork a C. You know, it's not terrible, but it's just not my thing. I don't really like it.
There's a couple good scenes. I'll bump it up to a C+.
So overall, I'm gonna give the book a B.
That's about right.
So that's it for Avengers number 48. Dr. Bill and I will be back with Avengers number 49. I'm not sure exactly when. I think we're probably going to have a decent amount of Avengers spotlights coming up, you know, more frequently than we normally would. And, you know, I'll pull back the curtain and say for a moment, you know, we did have about 2 months where we were unable to record for reasons I don't really want to get into too much. But we had a break there. We had a good amount of episodes already recorded, so we didn't miss any weeks. But we basically used up our surplus. And now that we're back to recording, we're in a situation where, realistically, Dr. Bill, Scott, and Dave, not me, but the three of them, are all really, really busy with work. So it's a little difficult for us to find time to record. And even when Dr. Bill and I find time to record, a lot of times it's like, well, we don't have hours to do this, so we'll do an Avengers spotlight because we know those take a shorter amount of time. So we will endeavor to keep you entertained every week, but you might get a couple of shorter episodes in there, and hopefully that isn't a negative for people, and you just enjoy listening to us anyway. In the meanwhile, we'll be back next week with something.
Next issue is the silent issue.
Yeah, I don't know if next week we're going to do Avengers 49 or we're going to work some other stuff in. I'm going to try and work stuff in. I'm going to try and, you know, we're going to do a lot of Avengers because we enjoy doing the Avengers. But I'm going to try and, you know, see if just keep going with, you know, different things. So we will see. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Bill, and thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait.
Goodbye.
Ba-doom-ba.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiMonzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.